Hello and welcome to Science Unscripted. It's Connor here.
And Gabe.
Some of you out there may have seen, as part of a debate on in a relationship, who should be doing what at home and how much of it. Usually it's aimed at us men, I think probably fairly, yeah. That when it comes to cooking, cleaning, doing some of the household chores, that a lot of us didn't grow up doing that or having a model for that, and that we're pretty bad at it.
Yeah.
I would say that, honestly, that's something I had to learn to do better than I did before. And what I keep seeing is the number 60-40. And what that means is if you're in a relationship, you shouldn't try to divide things 50-50 because you'll both argue. You should do it 60-40. Everyone feels like they're giving 60%, and that makes things good and happy. But we're about to talk about a study.
Okay, I'm going to say right now that the numbers are meaningless. It's not who does more. What's really important might be whether you guys are keeping score.
Science Unscripted.
So hello, my name is Gideon. I'm a PhD candidate at the University of Toronto in social psychology, and I mainly study romantic relationships and how couples can have a happier relationship.
And you've just published a study on what exactly, Gideon?
So I published a study on a construct called what psychologists call exchange orientation, which is the tendency to keep record or track of what you give and what you take in a relationship. So keeping a mental tally and expecting direct reciprocation for whatever benefit that is provided.
Okay, so the idea that my partner and I'd be like, wait, yeah. I just mowed the lawn, so I deserve something from you, or the other way around. She would be like, hey, I just did this, and so I deserve something from you.
Exactly. Like, I give you a nice gift, I'm expecting something in return when you're providing it.
And what happens to the relationship when you keep score like this, when each member in the relationship keeps their own score?
So, in prior research, we have consistently found that keeping tally or mental tally predicts lower relationship well-being. But in our current study, we found longitudinal effects where when you keep more score than usual, in the following years, your relationship satisfaction would decrease.
Oh, so wherever I was 5 years ago, if I'm doing it more now, if I'm really tallying everything I do and expecting my partner to meet me there or for me to get something back as a result, that's what you're looking at, that change over time.
Exactly. How much you keep track of things more than you usually would do.
And what happens to the relationship when you keep track more than you did before?
So what we found is that relationship satisfaction, or how happy you're with your relationship, tends to decline in the future. And another thing we found is that people tend to show declines in exchange orientation. So they tend to expect direct reciprocation less as relationship progresses. But for people who decline less, their relationship satisfaction would decline more than others.
Oh, so a normal or a normal healthy relationship means that over time, let's say my wife and I, we started out keeping score a lot. And then as the relationship progresses, we keep score less?
In a healthy relationship. Yeah.
Let's say that the relationship with my wife is healthy, that we do this less. But then if we start keeping score again, that means that choppy waters are coming for the relationship or what?
Exactly. I think you framed it exactly that way. Should be framed, yeah.
I don't know if you looked at this, but I'm confused about who's at fault here. Because the tendency, I think, immediately looking at your study or hearing about your study is that whoever's keeping track with this ledger is the one to blame. Oh, I've been working out, I've been cleaning the dishes, I've been doing the laundry, I've been mopping the floor, and you've done nothing. Or I deserve, you know, whatever, a weekend away because of that. So it sounds like I'm the person to blame there, except what if the reason I'm paying attention to that more is that the other partner isn't doing their fair share? Do you have any insight into who we can blame for this horrific mess?
So I'm not sure if I'd use the term blame, but I think it makes complete sense that when your partner is not meeting your needs, you feel less satisfied with the relationship, and you start keeping tally, you start expecting direct reciprocation as like a risk regulation method. But it's more or less seems like a unidirectional effect where exchange orientation is more of a risk factor than a reaction to reduced satisfaction.
I got this. So this only happens one way. So if I start creating that ledger, it's going to drop satisfaction in my relationship. It's going to get worse. But if I am already dissatisfied, even though there's no ledger, it has nothing to do with me tallying things. I'm just really dissatisfied with the relationship. That's not going to necessarily cause me to start tallying everything and playing this game.
Exactly. That's what our data is showing currently. But I guess one limitation of our study is that we tracked participants in time intervals of 2 years. So we might not have gotten at the more nuanced, small-scale, immediate results. So, but at least in the time interval of 2 years, that's exactly what we're finding.
Is there anything that people listening to this right now can do if they notice that they're starting to keep score in their head, or they start to think that the things that they're doing for their partner are only there so that they're in good standing? What can you do about it? Can you just stop doing that? Or what is there a psychological trick to help you, I don't know, do this less or not do it in a way that will harm the relationship?
Right. I think that's a great direction for future research, because right now we don't yet know whether people can deliberately unlearn this mindset or whatever antecedents or what kind of factors might promote exchange orientation in the first place. So that's something we're looking into as future direction.
But since your study is longitudinal, you've watched people's tendency to keep score go down over time. Do you have any insight in your data into what causes people to track these things less and hence not torpedo their own relationship?
Right. So I don't have like empirical evidence to support this, but my intuition is that like over time, people learn to trust each other more. And also they might grow a stronger attachment bond with their relationship where they feel less insecure over time. So I think all of those factors could contribute to reduced keeping track in relationships.
So the psychological mechanism that leads to this kind of behavior is then a lack of trust? Could we say that?
I would partly say so, because in one of the follow-up studies, we're finding that people keep track of things more in their initial relationship or initial stages, but also that it could be more adaptive in the very earliest stages of the relationship. So I think building more trust and interdependence is critical for how exchange orientation might unfold in relationships.
And how do you do that? How do you build trust with your partner if for whatever reason you've clearly lost it or it's going down? Like what can you do?
That's a very tricky question, which I think is like a topic for another research. But I mean, one thing that our data, I guess, indirectly shows is time. I guess you get to build trust over time. But another maybe lesson from our study is that if you focus more on giving to your partner than taking, and when both partners like commit to that mindset, maybe that would be one way to build trust over time.
Can you help me figure out what to do with this information? Because if I were in a situation now where my partner was like, hey, you haven't been doing your fair share, and here's example A, example B, example C, example D. And then I'm like, oh, but I talked to this guy, Gideon, who did this huge study, and what you're doing now, keeping track of all this stuff, is going to torpedo our relationship. You shouldn't do that. Then I would expect the counterargument to be like, yeah, but you're not doing these things that I'm doing. And then it's like, we're stuck. How do you get out of that? Do you have any insight into how you see this danger and then together steer around it?
I would definitely not use this finding to blame your partner for like communicating their needs. I feel like the message of this study is that people should be more attentive to their partner's needs, offering support based on specific needs rather than a tally, and sometimes helping when it comes at a personal cost. So when your partner is telling you, oh, I have these kind of things where the needs are unmet, I think you should focus more on, oh, those are the needs that I should strive to meet for my partner. And if that becomes like interdependence, I think you'll be better off.
And that was Gideon Park speaking to us from Toronto, Canada. And we were kind of mentioning our own relationships, our wives there. But we kind of have a relationship, Connor.
Oh.
We divvy up tasks all the time.
That's true.
Do you keep score with me?
I didn't expect you to answer this. I'm flummoxed. I'm flushed. I'm flush in the cheeks. No, yes and no. Yes and no. I think I have weeks.
You do a lot of the social media stuff. So you could say every time you put something on YouTube or do something on Twitter.
You edit a lot of audio. And I think that's kind of where I would tend to try and leave that.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's more like I have weeks where I'm like, oh, wow, Gabe did a lot this week. And then I have other weeks where I'm like, wow, I did a lot and Gabe didn't do much this week.
Yeah.
Those thoughts go through my head. I'm sure they go through yours.
It's not like a daily thing. Well, I did that and he didn't do that, or I did too much. You're not wasting your mental energy thinking about it, because over the 5 years that we've been working together, we've built trust.
Yes.
I would say over time, like Gideon said in his research, I think we have a pretty healthy relationship. Over time, we've built that trust and we just rely on each other.
It's also based on strengths, because you have like an almost photographic ability. For anyone who just heard that interview, Gabe will walk out of the studio and have large portions of it, I'm not exaggerating, memorized in his mind verbatim. And then when we're discussing, okay, is there anything, because we do have to, unfortunately, for time and quality, we do cut some things from the show. Gabe knows already like sentences, entire one and a half sentences. That is something we get. Yeah, that's your strength. That's a wild capability that I don't have. So,
and your strength is to write in a way that people actually want to read it, which is why you do a lot of the descriptions of our content for social media.
Look at this compliment.
Look at this
compliment fest we're giving each other. What a relationship.
Yeah.
What a relationship. I guess we're trying to model or be exemplary for the others out there in a professional way. But yeah, in your own private, personal, romantic relationship, this is an issue for most everyone. And I still think he couldn't answer the question. I still think the more you have to do at home, the more duties, and it could be anything. It could be a project. You might be painting the walls. You might be doing, if you have a lot to do, it's probably going to make those issues more acute. And I think no answer at this point, but being aware of that, stop, take a deep breath. It sounds like you're creating a ledger, or I'm creating a ledger. Be aware of that, and let's work together on discussing what's important to us and what's not.
Do you guys keep score at home? And how's that going for you? That's what I'd be interested in knowing. Send us whatever reply in whatever form you want to su@dw.com, and hope you guys are doing well, I guess.
Science Unscripted.